Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, come on, let's go ahead and take your seat, and let's talk about a subject that I just want to share for 20 minutes. I can do this. Do you believe it? I know I do. And we're going to talk about a wonderful little subject that I believe God's spoken to me about. Even though we're approaching the Christmas season and we're getting ready for girls' night out, and man, are you girls going to have a good time, and you're going to see things right before your eyes that you're just not going to believe in church this coming Saturday, Friday night. And so if you haven't got your tickets, let me encourage you to do that. Today, as we go to the Word of the Lord, and let's just study the Bible just a little bit together. I got some things I want to share with you that are kind of on my heart, and I think you'll find it pretty fascinating. The title of this is called The Life for the Truly Saved. Now, when I put that up on the overhead as the title, and it says the life for the truly saved, there is a life that God expects from you if you are truly saved. Now, let me ask you a question. The title in itself rubs you the wrong way, doesn't it? It's like, well, what do you mean, who's saved? I don't know who's saved, who isn't saved. God does. I'm not the judge of men. But I want you to know that I really believe there's a lot of people in America that are professing to be Christians that are not Christians at all. You know, the Bible says you would know them, and that they would have no problem in spotting them. You'd know them by their fruit, and you'll find that who's a real Christian, who isn't a real Christian, all you do is hang around them for a long time. And I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to point fingers. But I thought it would be kind of interesting. If there's a life for us that are truly born of the Spirit of God to operate in, what is that life? What would it be? I found it amazingly simple. Sometimes we get into the Greek and the Hebrew and the extracts of everything, and we get deep into stuff. But I just found that what we're going to talk about tonight, what you should be doing as a true Christian, is so simple that I tell you, we overlook it all the time. I like things that are simple. Do you like things that are simple? I don't like complex things to do because they're hard to do. I don't know. Sometimes I can't figure them out. But I like the simple things, and I'm just thrilled about it. So tonight, as we look at what are the lifestyles, what are the expressions, what are we doing as real believers that we maybe not doing, we can evaluate that, or maybe we should be doing and get involved in doing it. If you're a real Christian born of the Spirit of God, and we just gave everybody an opportunity in this building to get right with God, so therefore I want you to know, I'm assuming that all of you are right with God, then there is a lifestyle, there's a function, there is some things that are really simple for you and I to look at, to know. Tomorrow I'm going to get out of bed, so are you, prayerfully. And we're going to do something. Let's do it Christian. Let's do it God's way. Let's be what God would have us to be. Is that good? I don't want to live my life. I know you don't either. Live in your life the way you want it to be. Because you gave your heart and you gave your life to Jesus Christ. That's how you got saved. If you didn't do that, then you're really not saved. But how you got saved is you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Therefore, the lifestyle, those activities that you and I are required of God to do, are very, very important. Someone said to me one time, you know, you don't have to do anything as a Christian. That's just the biggest bunch of bull I've ever heard in my life. Well, that was a lot of years ago, maybe 40 years ago when I heard that. And I started reading my Bible. And I found out there's a lot of things God wants us to do. You know, you can say, oh, you don't have to do anything. Maybe as far as redemption, Jesus paid the price. There's nobody going to pay a price for you but Jesus. He's the only one that has gone to the cross, the only one to put your heart and life in. And he's the only way you can get saved, and that's all true. But as far as living out my life, let me say it again, as far as living out your life, there's all kinds of things that the Bible tells us to do. And so therefore, let's take a look at some simple things tonight on the lifestyle, if you will, or what a true Christian ought to be acting like, what it is for the life for the true Christian that's being saved. Number one thing I feel that God had me to write down and express to you is this, is that we need to live our faith, express and live our faith. Your faith is very important. Sometimes we live and express our faith in the beginning when we got saved, and we never do it after that. God would have us to be big mouths on this planet about what we believe in, and we are called by God to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. And God, I know it, for some of you that's a difficult thing because it's embarrassing to you. But you're going to have to get past the embarrassment or the possible shame that you may be expressing or feeling because you're afraid of what people think about you. And guys, I want you to know something. You will never be a successful Christian, and the people you will never be associated with will ever become Christians until you are expressive about your faith. God wants you to open up your mouth. Let me say it again. So I heard you sing, and I heard you clap, and I heard you shout, so I know you could do this. God wants you to open up your mouth and express your faith every time you can open up your mouth. I mean, I was just with an unbeliever yesterday, and I had set it up just that way so that I could spend some time with him, and there was no way in the world they were not going to get the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did I lead them to the Lord? No, but I sure left the door wide open for them to come around and get serious. At least I did my part. I opened my mouth and I expressed what God would have me to do. I am called by God to express my faith. If I believe in Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, the one, the only one that you and I can truly be saved by, He is the one that takes me to heaven, washes away my sins, justifies who I am. Gosh, my goodness sakes, the high courts of gavel have pronounced you and I innocent, and we ought to be the biggest mouths on the planet for Jesus Christ. Expressing and living your faith. To express and live our faith means that we have got to every day start thinking about who it is that needs to hear about what God has done in our life. The Bible says in Revelation that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In other words, we're going to overcome because we are big mouths for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life with such a great God that has done great things in my life and not tell somebody about it. That's like being the wealthiest man in the world and never spending a penny and living in poverty. God has done such good things for all of us that are born of the Spirit of God. Your heart beats because of Him. You get to breathe because of Him. You get to have a hope. You get to have a future. You have a destiny. You have a purpose on this planet. You're a king's kid. My goodness, you have got a new spiritual DNA on the inside. You know, you're no longer a family reject. Oh, thank God your relatives are in heaven, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And guess what? I'm happy to say we have a new family, that's something to tell somebody about. And it will never happen until you get a picture. You know, I was reading in Romans just recently. Go there with me in the 10th chapter of Romans. Take a look at this verse. In verse number 9, it says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Have you ever read that verse? How many of you have read, wave at me, how many of you have read that verse in your life? Have you ever thought, do you see anywhere in there it says you do that one time and never do it again? But we read that verse as if that's a first thing we do to get saved and we never do it again. And we read that verse as if that's only when you get saved. That verse is only relating to when you get saved. Can I ask you a question? Does it say you only do it once and never have to do it again? My Bible says this, if, and don't you love the word if? I should have highlighted in the back room. I should have highlighted the word if. Because the word if means, you know, it's your call. It's your choice. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe with your heart. I have to confess and believe every day. Wait a minute. Am I the only one that has to confess and believe every day? See, the devil tells me that I'm a loser. The devil tells me I'm a failure. The devil tells me I'm never going to make it. And the devil tells me I'm not any good. I have no value. I mean, you're just a shameful person. You're just no good. Does anybody else ever hear from that same? Anybody else got that one attached to you? And all of a sudden, you're a nothing. You're a nobody. You're a down and out. But every day, my Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. And I say that's not a once just a get saved thing. I say that's every day. Every day I've got to acknowledge and express and live my faith. You know, the Bible says in James that faith without works is dead. And then he goes on to say, listen, you'll show me your faith, but I'll show you my faith by my works. If I really believe, let me say it again. If I really believe this every day, shouldn't I be opening my mouth and talking about it every day? Shouldn't I be sharing it with my neighbors? Shouldn't the person at work sitting at the desk next to me? I know this. When I get on an airplane with Deborah, you know, there's three seats oftentimes. Deborah will say, you sit on the end, I'll sit in the middle. I know what she's got in mind. I just feel sorry for that other person on that far side. She doesn't talk to me for hours. She talking to whoever it is. I don't care who it is. She is talking about Jesus. And that before the flight's over, usually they're all of them over there. I'm looking like I'm unsaved. Like, what are these people? Here's Deborah and this person. They're all crying, bawling and squalling, you know, and leading, holding hands and praying and. I tell you, there's nothing like it. So I don't open my mouth as much as I should, but I hang around Deborah, and she does a good job of it. And all of us need to express and live our faith, not just once in a while, my friends, but all the time, every day. I got to know. I speak. I'm saved, going to heaven. Denying my presence in hell. Woo, that makes me feel good. Jesus went to the cross and died for me. He loves me that much that he died for me. And then he sent back the Holy Spirit. And I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. That gives me the power to do something. And what we mostly do is nothing. We ought to be the biggest mouths on the planet for Jesus. Let me try it again. You absolutely blew it. There's one person that said hallelujah. Where are you that said that out loud over here? Oh, good. We're making you an elder next week. Just sign up in the back. You know, there's one. The rest of you missed that. We ought to be the, listen to me now. We ought to be the biggest mouths for Jesus every day. How simple is that? By the way, the Bible says in Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when I speak that over myself and believe it in my heart every day, is there a day gone by that the devil doesn't attack you? Is there a day gone by that principalities and powers don't rise up against you? Is there a day gone by in any one of your lives, listen to this, that your flesh doesn't rise and you start acting like, you know, a human? Instead of a spiritual person that you're supposed to be. And every one of us are that way. And every day, that verse is not a verse just to get saved. Not a verse just to somebody to read. If you did this, then you're saved forever. It says, if you confess with your mouth every single day, that's the way it ought to be. Which brings us to number two. The life for the truly saved. The life for the truly saved. Here's what we ought to be doing. Here's number two. I like this. We ought to be practicing enduring forever. Listen, enduring to the end is what the Bible says. Did you know that if I give up somewhere along the line, according to the scripture, I don't care what religion says, all through scripture it says, he that endures to the end. I mean, you'd have to be spiritually untruthful when you read the Bible to believe that you're called, and so am I, to not just get saved, but to practice this until the time comes when our heart stops on this planet and our eyes close and we go to be with Jesus. And God's looking for a people to endure to the end. In fact, let me read you a verse out of Matthew, the 10th chapter. In fact, if you got your Bible, let's look at it together. It's worth you circling in your Bible. Matthew, the 10th chapter. And let's take a look at verse number 22. Matthew 10 and verse number 22 says it like this. Are you ready? It says this. And don't you love this? Because Jesus is speaking it. Here's what Jesus says, verse 22. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Can I stop you right there? Now, if you're afraid to open your mouth, understand that when you do, there's going to be people that dislike you. Just play it. That's the way it is. Don't expect everybody to come patting you on the back. Don't expect everybody to come be your best friend. And they see the growth in you and the change in you. Do you think they like that? Heck no. I remember one guy got saved. He was a drug addict, knocked his teeth out with a hammer. Can you imagine that? To get drugs. He was so hooked on drugs, came to church, got saved. Went home to his parents, said, man, I'm free. I can feel it in my body. I'm free. And his parents said, we'd much rather have you a drug addict than a Christian. There are people on this planet that just aren't going to like you. When I walked in this pulpit, there are people in this audience, you didn't like me. But that's okay, because I want you to know something. It's not about me. I understand that. But here's what it says. But he who endures to the end. What if I don't endure to the end? I know. I'll find a church that tells me I don't have to endure to the end. And that'll make me comfortable. And that's really convenient. And then when I get my Bible, I'll cross the words of Jesus out. All the way through that, you'll find this over and over again, guys. Let me tell you, Revelation, all the text. He that endures. Here's a question. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. What if he doesn't endure to the end? What if somewhere along the line he says, you know, I tried that stuff. I did that once. Remember the old saying, I did that. How did it go? Remember that? I'd been there, done that. Remember that? I've been there, I've done that. No, that's not for me. Not. Did you go down and get saved? Oh, yeah. Did you pray the prayer? Oh, yeah. Did you get the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. But it's not for me. I don't know if I believe that anymore. I'm not quite sure. Listen, he that endures to the end. Endures what? The problems and pressures of the world? Endures what? The chaos that we live in? Not everything's going to be perfect because you're a Christian. But so when you have problems, and that's what he talks about in the beginning of that verse, hating you for his sake. In other words, you're going on with God, and there's people going to persecute you because you're going on with God and laugh at you and make fun of you. Guess what he says? You got to endure. You can't give in to the world. The world thinks you're crazy. And if they don't think you're crazy yet, hang around this place for a while. And it won't be long before they say you are crazy. And you got to come to a place of realizing my job is to endure to the end. Now, can I say this to you? Listen to this. Real simple. I can't endure until I'm prepared to endure. There's no way I'm going to run a race and keep on running the race if I'm not prepared for the race and know that it's not a sprint, it's an endurance race. This is not something that I get saved, go real fast, have a bunch of joy, have a lot of love. Oh, I go tell somebody about Jesus and 2 years later I'm not in church at all. What is that all about? And yet that's most people that call themselves Christians. And it can't be that way. You're in this for the long haul. And in order to do that, you got to be ready for a long haul, because you're going to be disappointed if you're looking for a short race and it's a long haul, long run. It's what it's all about. Is anybody listening? Brings us third point tonight about a life for the truly saved. And here it is. Here's number three. I love this. You're going to have to do something to clean up your act. Do you still like me? Because I like you. I mean, I know you want to come to a church that says, oh man, that's cool. You can do anything you want to do. You got the wrong church. There are churches out there. God bless them. They're good people, I'm sure. You know, they'll let you get away with that. You tell me, I'm going to get in your face. Why? Because I'm just too old to care what you think about me. I finally got to the place where I don't care what anybody says. I care what Deborah thinks, you know. As long as Mama likes me, I'm okay. But the bottom line is, you're going to have to clean up your act. Every one of us. I don't care who you are. If you're Deborah, you have to clean up your act. Not me. You got to clean it up. In other words, what we do is we always say to God, isn't this a funny thing? Oh God, you know, help me, cause me to do this, make me do this, make me do that. Have you ever noticed God just sits back and waits until you finally get to the place where you do it yourself? I mean, he's already gone to the cross for you, already died for you, sent back the Holy Ghost, sent back a map and a manual on how to live life and do it right. I mean, what else do you want him to do? You want him to, he's already jumped on the inside of you, called the Holy Spirit. Now, what else you want him to do? You want him just to carry it out for you. I got this problem, God, get rid of it. No, God's yelling back, you get rid of it. In fact, you ought to know the truth. In 1 John 5, chapter, verse 18, one of my favorite verses, 1 John 5, 18, says, he that is a Christian sins not. And he says these words, but he keeps himself from the wicked one and he touches him not. He keeps himself from the wicked one. I like to say this. You got to clean up your act. You got to do something to make some changes, you know? Because when you get saved, you get perfectly saved, but you're still living in a body. You're still thinking the carnal thoughts. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're still doing the bad habits. None of you ever did any bad habits after you got saved. You're all perfect. You never sinned. But it's funny how it says in 1 John, doesn't it? In the first chapter, verse number 9, it says, come to the Lord, confess your sins, and he is faithful to wash you and cleanse you. But guess what? He'll cleanse you, but then you're going to have to stay cleansed. You're going to have to stay in the place where you need to clean up your act. Notice what it says. Let me give you a verse on that. Just kind of a fun little verse on James, the first chapter, verse number 21. It says these words, and he tells these things. It's kind of neat because he's telling you to do some things. He says, verse 21 of the first chapter of James, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Now, he didn't say, I'll get rid of it for you. You know that wickedness you were in the other day? Don't worry about it. God will get rid of it for you. Can I tell you something? You do not want God to get rid of that wickedness. You want to get rid of it yourself. Because if God puts you in a spot where you have to get rid of it, you don't want to go there. It's better that you do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? So he says these words in verse number 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow with wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your souls. In other words, you got to clean up your act by putting the word first. My feeling wants to do something ugly, the word first. My feeling wants to, you know, get angry, word first. I want to deal with this the way my dad dealt with it or my mom dealt with it. Word of God first. So I got to get the word of God on the inside of me. It helps me to clean up my act. Is anybody listening? All right, fourth thing today. Here's fourth thing that we ought to do, and the last one for tonight. Life of the truly saved. And I love this one. You got to remain diligent. I mean, this is, yes, it's a endurance race, but diligence is not just getting by. Diligence is like persistent. There's a tenacity behind the gospel diligence, a tenacity that says I'm like a bulldog holding on to a piece of meat. Ever had a dog? You know, maybe you're visiting someone's house. And the dog was just absolutely a pain. And when the parents walked away, you know what I mean? The dog's owner walked in the other room. And the dog had this little thing. And you grabbed it. And he wouldn't let go of it. You look to see if anybody's looking. And you lift that little dog off the ground and shake that puppy. You know what I'm talking about? Don't tell me you haven't done it. You know you have. And you just loved it. And that's you're just hauling on. You're just shaking it. And the parent, the owner comes back in and you say, "Ah, oh, nice dog." You little liars. Come on. That's called tenacity. It's called getting in there and making it happen. Look, when you got saved, no one said it's going to be wonderful. In fact, anybody that says, get saved, everything will be wonderful, is like the stupidest lie in the whole world. When you get saved, you're engrafted into the army of God, which really says, if I'm in an army, I don't know why I'm in an army if everything's wonderful. I guess I'm in an army because there's a battle ahead of me. And I guess God gives me weapons, Ephesians, the sixth chapter, of my warfare. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. So I have weapons. I have the battle strategy. I'm inducted into an army. And we think, oh, I think everything's going to be good. Hello? Get a clue. But here's what we win. We win, read the end of the book. And we endure to the end. And we clean up our act by the word of God. And we find ourselves overcoming by the confessions of our mouth, believing with our heart that we're right with God. And we keep on doing this. And that's what diligence is all about. In fact, there's a whole list. It's kind of fun in the first chapter of 2 Peter. There's a whole list of things to do. You know, add to your faith this, put, you know, add virtue and brotherly love. And you ought to read the first chapter of 2 Peter sometime. And it's just an amazing and kind of a cool verse. It ends up with all these things that you add to your life. It tells you what to do, you know. And it ends up in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 10. I only want to look at verse number 10. It says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, never stumble. Can you imagine God giving you a promise of never stumbling? How many would love to never stumble in life? Okay, wait a minute, a whole bunch of you. How many of you, now let's be honest, you're in church. How many, first of all, before I ever asked it, how many of you have ever stumbled? Oh, what a mess we are. Oh, except this section. This section's cool. I mean, all the righteous are over here. You know what I'm saying? There are no sinners over there. Let's try that again. Just a little bit. I'm going to cast a lying devil out of you if you don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever stumbled? Come on. Okay, now look. Here's a promise from God. I should have highlighted the words never stumble. Back room. Guys in the back room, I should have highlighted the words never stumble. How many of you have ever stumbled? Okay. How many of you have ever stumbled? Oh. How many of you have ever? Okay, we've all done that, right? How would you like to never stumble? Remember our prayers? Here's what most people pray. Oh, God, help me not to fail. Help me not to quit. Help me not to give up. Oh, God, make it happen for me. Oh, God, I got the devil. Get the devil out of me. Get him out yourself. You got the power of the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hello? So tonight, simple things. What real Christians ought to do. Four things. God, isn't it always, do we always have a list of 9 million things to do? Well, here's four simple things. Four simple things. Number one, I mean, you've got to always, every day, open your mouth and express and live your faith. Every day, somebody needs to hear about what Jesus has done in your life. They will come back to you and ask you how you did it. And then you can lead them to the Lord. Or bring them to church. There's this big mouth preacher that pastors this church. Oh, man, he gets in everybody's face. And it's like, did you know that last weekend, this is the weekend, in the English-speaking services, In the morning on Sunday, not Saturday, not Friday night, not Sunday night, not Spanish, all the Spanish services, just the English Sunday morning, 250 adults got saved. So if you can't do it, you open your mouth and then bring them to church. There's somebody in here that's going to do it. I promise you this, we'll either get them saved or tick them off. And then we go to the verse where, for his sake, you know, they don't like. Okay, we'll do that later on. Okay, second thing, number two, you got to endure to the end. If you're not ready to endure, you're not going to. This is not just a try it for a while, a little dab will do you. You used to have a little pin years ago that said, try Jesus. You don't ever try Jesus, you do Jesus. Never try Jesus. There are people that try, I'll try it for a while, see if it works. Go try arsenic too, see if it works. My goodness sakes, don't try Jesus, you do Jesus. Amen? And so, and we got to endure to the end. That means you got to get ready for that. Number three, you got to work at cleaning up your act. A person came up to me last weekend and said, hey, Pastor, we're in sin. You know, a couple, you know, I don't have to tell you what their sin was. Oh, you got dirty little minds. To the pure, all things are pure. No, they're in sin. And I said, well, you know, we'll marry you. Oh, we don't want to get married. So you just want me to tell you it's okay to live together? Oh, we're not living together. We're just in sin. Is it okay if we're in sin if we don't live together? What church have you been going to? So you have to do something to clean up your act, you know. I hope you're not here, by the way, that I, you know, you probably are here tonight and are really mad at me, but I'm going back to that verse, you know, that people will get mad at you for his sake. So anyway, number four, you got to get diligent about all of this. Diligent means it's not, I talked to a guy the other day, he said, I go to church all the time. I said, where'd you go? He says, I come here. And then he said to me these words, true story. He says, this is the first time I've seen the building. It is beautiful. I said, man, we've been in this building for 8 years. He says, yeah, I know. I went to the last church. That was his idea of being diligent. So what's your idea about being diligent? Wednesday night, once in a while, when it's convenient. What about the other 9 services a week? One guy emailed me and says, I don't have time to get into church very much. We're going to start at 2 o'clock in the evening service. A.M., I'm the only one here. I'll preach to you. Come. You see what I'm saying? What is diligence to you? Everybody's got a different picture of diligence. But if you'll take that little bulldog picture in your mind of that little bulldog holding on and growling as he's in the air and how much fun it was to dangle him, that's the way you ought to be about the things of the Lord. If God spoke to you tonight, give him a great big praise the Lord. I know I want to be.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.